Now, last week we began a series of messages about spiritual gifts. Go ahead and bring that up, John. I want to give you the definition again of spiritual gifts. And you remember that I took phrase by phrase of this last week and gave you the scriptural basis of each phrase in this definition. But if you'll look at it with me, spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's grace and design for use in exalting Christ, edifying the church, and evangelizing the secular world. Now, there's probably some of you think that's just a bunch of words. I hope over the next several weeks, as we flesh this out, that will become alive for you. Now, at the end of last week's message, there are several things that I ask of you. Questions that you could begin to ask yourself about spiritual gifts. And first was, do I have God's greatest gift? In other words, have you received Jesus into your life? That's His greatest gift of all. Secondly, are you willing to explore the subject, and the subject being spiritual gifts, with an open mind and heart? Not from your particular denominational background, not from what you heard it said, this, that, and the other, but exploring what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. What does the Word of God have to say about it? Third, will you listen to the voice of God as He speaks? And then, will you be willing to obey? Now, that's the context in which we move into today's message, in which I hope to give you a biblical basis of spiritual gifts. Now, I realize that some of us are all over the board here, okay, in regard to this subject. In the past, this has been a very controversial subject. But it's really not that controversial if you just read the Bible. What makes it controversial is when man inserts himself into the argument. And I'm going to hold you to that, by the way. And I hope you'll hold me to it. Because we're going to hold to what the Word of God says. Now, today's message. We've got several things, and I'm not going to have the scriptures up there on the screen, so you're going to have to use your Bible today. God's primary gift to us, as we think, as we start laying a foundation here, a biblical foundation of spiritual gifts, God's primary gift to us is Himself. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 2. Put your finger in that, and then go to Acts 1, 8. Hear the word from 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led away astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Okay. When you were pagans, you were away from God. Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, we think about all of those other spirits when he says, when you were pagans, what spirits were you being led by? Who was in control of that world? No, not God, Daniel. That's right, the evil one. Prince of the power of the air. You know, the world, the flesh, the devil was in control of that. These, and notice that that Paul calls them mute idols. That's kind of a slam on that whole system, the God and the not God part of it. It's the slam. Because How can an idol speak to you? Nothing. Mute. That have nothing to say. And when a demon speaks through an idol, or the devil himself, what is being spoken to you? Is it truth? It's the lie. So, if you want to know the truth, you've got to come to Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His primary gift, and this has got to be the basis of everything that we talk about. His primary gift to us is Himself. Having a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when does the power come? When He comes upon you, when the Spirit of God comes upon you. So when a person receives Jesus into his life, what actually happens? The very Spirit of God Himself, the Spirit of Jesus, comes to take up residence in you. You become a temple, Paul calls it, of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you, to live in your body. Your body then becomes the temple of God. That has ramifications for the church. That has ramifications for our theology about church, what we believe about it. This is not the church. It's a mild form of heresy to ever call a building the church. It never was, it never will be. It's brick and mortar. We are the church. The body, the physical body of Jesus upon this earth. Now, second thing, a person who does not have the Holy Spirit is not a Christian. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans right before 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Hear these verses. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Speaking of them, you're in the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you see here, he's using Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God interchangeably. Do you see that? In the same verse. Key thing here, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he, being that person, me and you, does not belong to Him, that is God. So if the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you, you're not a Christian. You don't belong to Him. That's His mark upon you. Another place in Scripture, and they're just... There are hundreds of scriptures if I had to choose between a few. And another place he says, that is His seal upon us. The seal of the Holy Spirit. That when we come to Him, we are indwelt, we are baptized in the Spirit. That's why that... For some of you that have come from a hyper-charismatic background, you have a dual theology there that says you get the Holy Spirit at a later time. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that there is one baptism, one indwelling, there are many fillings. Now be careful before you shake your heads in too much agreement with your evangelical theology with me, because as we go along, there's another part of it on the end that's going to be a little stretchy. So, a person who has the Spirit, he belongs to Christ. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, see how it says that synonym. The Spirit of Christ has indwelt you, and then he says, if Christ is in you. Those are synonymous phrases. Are you following me so far? Got to follow me with this. This is key teaching here. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Because what happened to your spirit when you came to Jesus? You became brand new in Him. Now, in your flesh, you still struggle with sin, right? Did everybody struggle with sin this week? Well, me and John and three or four others of us did. Yeah, bless your heart, Kenny said. I'll put up two hands. Because I want you to know, I had some tests this week. I mean, some big tests. That's my flesh. He has redeemed my spirit. I belong to Him. I have been changed. He not only did something for me when He died on the cross, He did something to me when He changed my life. That is the beauty of the resurrected life in Christ. That is the beauty of the changed life, that He changes people. That's the message Savannah has got to hear. If Savannah's going to be changed, if this world is going to be changed, not by rearranging deck chairs so that the church just looks more attractive and nothing ever changes, but when the power of God comes on a person's life and they are really changed by Him. That's Jesus doing something to you. Then verse 11. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see that? As He comes right back around and says, His Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, is dwelling in you, and He wants what is good for you. We've got to come in agreement with that truth. If we're going to enjoy the Christ life, if we're going to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus said, I want you to have abundant life, super abundant life. How are you going to enjoy that? Unless we've come in agreement with and obey Him and walk in His way instead of fighting against that life. With bad attitudes, with I'm going to do it my way, and Lord, I'll do it next time, but this time I'm just going to do it my way. He will not honor that. Third thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can go ahead and turn there. A person may have the Holy Spirit and not be experiencing all of His power. And in fact, some people, when they are just babies in Christ, they really don't even realize at that time the change that has come over them, that they have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like somebody made a deposit in their bank account but didn't tell them. First Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Let me get there. He says there, and brothers, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? He's saying, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, I can't feed you, I can't bring you the meat of the Word, I've got to bring you the milk of the Word because you're so immature. Because you're not walking according to the Spirit. Now, if ever there was a picture of the Western church, that's it right there. Walking in the flesh. Yeah, we got our fire insurance. Yeah, we belong to Jesus. We're going to be saved just by the hair of our chinny chin chin. Just barely, you know, by His grace. But we're not walking in the fullness of that relationship with Him. So, a person may have the Holy Spirit, maybe say, and not experiencing all of His power. All of His power. And that's something we've got to grow in and have to walk in. We're going to be talking about that over the next several weeks. Number four, turn 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and Romans 8, 15. God gives gifts to the church to exalt Christ and edify, that is, build up the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's he talking about? The manifestation. He's talking about gifts. To each one, gifts are given for the common good. We'll get back to that in just a second. Romans 8, 15 says this. For you've not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted into His body. We have been brought into His family so that we can be a gift to others. He says these gifts are for the common good. Now here's an era that is out there within many groups that celebrate the spiritual gifts. They see gifts, and it's happened in my own life, where you see those spiritual gifts that God gives you as something that is just for you. But you see, that isn't why He gifts us. So that that we become a terminal point of the gift. No, He gifts us so we can be a conduit to the rest of the world. Do you see this? He gives you a gift so you can give yourself away. If we're going to be like Christ, what did Jesus do? How many of His gifts did He give away? How many? All of them. And how much of Himself did He give away? All. Do you see this? Do you see God's economy? Now, some of you are saying, well, if I give myself away like that, I'm gonna run out of gas. No, you won't. No, you won't. Who filled your tank in the first place? Can He do it again? You know, sometimes we're desiring of God to use us more and for us to be more in the harvest and doing all that, but He's waiting us to do something with what we got now. What do you have now? Exalt Christ and build up the church. All right, number five. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 again. We all have at least one spiritual gift. Now let's read this passage beginning in verse 4 down through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, that is, results, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Let's stop right there for just a minute and see what I just said. A lot of different gifts. A lot of different ministries that those gifts get invested in by the people who have those gifts. You follow me? And then, he says, and then there are different results that come out of it. Now, let's stop here and see what our Western thinking wants to do with that. With a truth like that, we say, well, we want to make it an equation. You put this in and you get this out every time. What's wrong with that? That's not what the Bible says. The Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says there are varieties of effects, and it's up to God. Our responsibility is to be faithful, to receive what He has given us, and to let it manifest the way He wants it to manifest in our lives and through us. Am I making sense so far? Are you following me? Okay. Now, by this passage of Scripture, it says, to each one, verse 7, is given a manifestation of Spirit, a gift. Who's that mean? Each one. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the body of Jesus, the church, the local body of that body of believers to which he was writing. So to each one of them, when they became a Christian and they got God's primary gift, which is the Christ, and the evidence of us having Jesus is that He has given to us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, His primary gift in us. That's the evidence that we belong to God, the seal of our redemption in Him. He is living in us. We have become the temple of God. Now, we have that primary, but He says to each one is given a manifestation of this. So every one of us has a spiritual gift. Let me repeat that. Every single one of us has a spiritual gift. So here's the dilemma for you. Yes, I belong to Jesus. I'm a Christian. But I don't have a gift? Wrong. Wrong. Maybe you just haven't discovered it yet. And that's what we're about over these next several weeks. A period of discovery. To be open to God. To reveal this to us. Every one of us has at least one spiritual gift. So please, don't put on the false humility and that all shucks thing I was talking about last week. Pawing the ground and all shucks, I hadn't gotten. That's a lie. That's a lie from the evil one. You do. Maybe you just haven't discovered it yet. Every one of us has at least one spiritual gift. Now, 6 point. Within the body of Christ, the unity of Jesus, you are all different. Note the times he uses. There are varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. We're all different. Every one of us. Now here's another thing that the Word of God does not teach. The Word of God does not teach that one particular gift is a sign of the Holy Spirit. It's not what the Word of God teaches. I know some of us have come from places that teach that particularly speaking in tongues is the sign that you have the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says there are varieties. Varieties. It doesn't eliminate speaking in tongues. That's the part we're going to get to next. But they're varieties. Later on, Paul, and we're going to look at this in the ensuing weeks, he speaks of the body like a person's physical body, that it takes all of us operating together in our gifts to know Him and make Him known to the world. And that is the purpose of those gifts, is to know Jesus, for us falling in love with Him and us growing in Christ, and then for us to make Him known to the world. To see that His body is, on the one hand, to see that the body of Christ is growing up and we're using our gifts to raise up the body, and on the other hand, to evangelize the world, that the world will see Jesus through us. And let me tell you, what is needed today is a release of the spiritual gifts of the body of Christ in the world, at your workplace. Not just inside this building. Let me tell you, if you're waiting today to see the power of God come in a wonderful way, and it all happened inside of a building, you're waiting on something that God is not in. God's not in that, because that's controlled by man. He's in releasing Himself to the world. Now, the last point before we get to the takeaway. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. Paul. That's exactly what I said. The Bible, the Word of God, does not say anywhere, there is not one line that says that any of the spiritual gifts have passed away, went away with the apostles, went away in the first century. That is cessationist theology, and it is anti-biblical. It is wrong. It is not of God, because it's not in this book. As long as we're living in this age of the church, this time of God's revelation at this time with His body on this earth, God will continue to pour out His gifts upon the church. Scripture does not support the cessation of gifts. Now, I point you to there. I'm not going to read chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians, but I am going to read verse 1 of chapter 12 and verse 1 of chapter 14. Hear these two verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be, King James says, ignorant. New American Standard says, I don't want you to be unaware. So in other words, he's not saying, I'm going to give you the limited list of the spiritual gifts. Here are the ones that have passed away, and here are the ones that are still operative. Does 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 ever say that? Answer, no. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. All of the gifts are for today. Then go to verse 1 of chapter 14. Pursue love. This is after chapter 13. Remember the love chapter? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love, I'm as a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You know, all of that, and he gives all the characteristics of love. I read it last night at the wedding. Beautiful passage. Then he gets to verse 1 of chapter 14. He says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. That is a command. It's in the imperative mode. It means do it. This is something you must earnestly desire. That means you need to seek your heart after spiritual gifts. And God giving you those gifts. You follow me? And especially that you can prophesy. That you can speak forth the Word of God. Prophesy. Speak His Word. And sometimes that is speaking forth in this Word. Sometimes it's speaking forth as God speaks to you in prayer and you speak to another person. He does that wonderful thing of speaking to you directly. Isn't it interesting that in our prayers this, as you're praying for people, God just instructs you to pray for people on particular days, on time. That's Him coming and speaking through you. And then you speaking that word to someone else. That's a way of prophesying. Back to the earnestly desire. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Do it. That God will give you more. Why? So that He can use you more. Do you see this? So that you're not just consuming these gifts upon yourself, but that you're being a gift to the church and to the world at the same time. He's sharpening you, giving you more. Spiritual gifts are not static. They're dynamic. Static means it's the same, it doesn't, you know, it keeps on being the same. Dynamic means it can change. God can give you more spiritual gifts. And He will as you make yourself available to Him to be used by Him. And where do you start? Right where you are. Now, one of the things I want to ask of you, I want you to read Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and Ephesians 4. Great passages on spiritual gifts there. And see what God says to you. Now, I know for some of us here today, some of the things today that I'm saying, I realize they're stretching things to you. Because it hasn't been in the mode of your life. But let me tell you, a lot of things happened in Moses' life from the time he was a very old man. You know, all that stuff that happened back down in Egypt with the power of God and all that, that happened after Moses became a very old man. So don't give me this stuff, well, I've grown this and I'm at this place in my spiritual walk. And you know what that's saying to God? God, you've got nothing else to teach me. Nothing else to teach me. But be open. Be open. Not to what the world's saying, but what is the Word of God saying to you? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? So here's our takeaway. Oh, I'm sorry, John, I had one more. Thank you. No gift is above the other in point. I've already made that point. None's above the other. All right, go on to the takeaway. This is a trick question. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you the tabernacle of God? Let me go ahead and tell you. Do you know one of the reasons why? And it's going to sound crazy to some of you, and you're going to say, Dusty, you're quirky, and you're off the edge. You know one of the reasons why I continue to refer to this building as the tabernacle, this place as the tabernacle? Because I think it's a good biblical name for it, the building, because it's a building. I can call it the tabernacle because it's a place where we come. It's not the church. Not the church. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Secondly, where do you see the gifts of the Spirit operative right now in your own life and in the lives of those around you? Where do you see them operative? You see that happening anywhere? Or not? It's okay to say, I don't see that happening. It's okay. I want you to be honest. Third. What gift or gifts do you think that you might have? Well, give me the list and let me look at it. All right? I did. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Ephesians 4. Romans 12. Look at those. other passages, but those primary ones. Look in those passages. Are the gifts they're spoken of in there? And I want you to know, I believe in all of them because the Bible teaches all of them. All of them. The sign gift. Let me give you a brief testimony about that. When I was growing up, there were some teachers, not all the teachers, but some of the teachers that I sat under taught that certain gifts, particularly the sign gifts, the miraculous gifts, passed out of use after the first century. They said, and their theology was that when the canon of Scripture, when Scripture was completed, that there was no longer a need for those. The only problem with that is that's not taught in the Word. And that is not operative in the world. I was talking to someone this past week that really comes from a cessationist background. Well, they don't believe in healings. They don't believe in sign gifts, the miraculous. All of that is the background that they come from. But here's what's happening. A lot of that stuff may not be... It's happening in the United States. We just don't hear about it a lot of times. God is doing wonderful things. But what happened to this person was they had a mission team that went to another country. Went to a third world country. And what happened over there? There they were. They had a front row seat to the power of God. And they saw the power of God come. They saw people healed. They saw people delivered. They saw the power of God come. People saved as a result of that. And the testimony went out. And God was working in a marvelous way. And they couldn't deny it. And they came back home. And they couldn't lie and say, I no longer believe in that. They couldn't just lie to God and say, no, it happens over there, but it can't happen here. Then you got to decide. You got to be honest about it. I want you to know, in Nigeria, I saw a young man who was hard of hearing. He was deaf since birth. And he's hearing today. God did a wonderful sign in his life, healed him. And that testimony went around to people. Many, we just got to be open to God. What gift or gifts? I'm passionate about this. I'm sorry. I'm 55 years old. I don't know how many years I have. I believe I'm going to be alive when Jesus comes, whenever that is. I'm looking forward to that. But the clock's ticking. And I want to see God move. I want to see him move in power in this world. I want to see him move in Savannah. Don't you? A sweeping revival in this city like we've never seen. Final question. How are you using those gifts? Well, I think I might have these, but how are you using them? Well, let's talk for just a minute. I know some of you are thinking right now, Dusty, you're about to scare me to death. You're about to jump off the edge. And I hope you haven't got a rope tied to my ankle when you jump. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Peter. I deserve that, Peter. Oh, God's so good. Did y'all hear what he said? He said, or a bungee cord. I just want you to don't be afraid, okay? There's nothing to be afraid of here. Don't be afraid of the power of God. Don't be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. They are for your good and for the good of your world and for God's power. He's not going to make you crazy. He loves you. He wants you to be the best. And he wants you to be his witness in the world. And that means you bring to the table every weapon possible, every gift possible, to be the best you can be. Let me give you one example, and I'll shut up. You say, well, Dusty, how can a gift help me? Well, how's that going to help me? Say at work. Let me give you one. Gift of discernment. One of the gifts mentioned there, discernment. To be able for God to speak to you about things that are going on and just speak to you. Now, how can that help you at work? You're walking into the lines, then you're about to walk into a meeting. And suddenly, you've been praying about it, and God speaks to you, and He says, you need to be quiet at the beginning of this meeting. Don't say anything. Let me ask you, has God spoke to some of you like that before in your life? Put your hand up. I want to see. All right? You know, that was the power of God. How did you know that? How could you have known that? But God spoke to you. He revealed Himself. Right now, our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries, do you know how they know who they can trust and who they can't trust? There's only one surefire way. God's got to tell them and speak to them. Because if they're looking on empirical evidence where they can deduce an opinion about it, that'll be wrong. But God speaks. Now, over the next several weeks, I got a lot of stories, a lot of things I want to share with you. And I want us to walk through this together and enjoy this study together as we dive into the Word together. I want you to invite your friends to come. Be part of this. Okay? We together? Well, I hadn't made up my mind. Okay. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to come to the altar and pray today. We'll do that right now. Lord, we open the altar now. Lord, as our pastors, our life group leaders are around to pray with us. Lord, we open this time and we ask you to come. We ask you to come in power. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, we need to do business with you. This is your time. The altar's open. Come.